subject this morning, if I can get it out of me. Always remember. Jesus said, he told Moses, I want you and the people, always remember this day. And I'll bring a thought to you about always remember. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm so delighted that you're here. This is a pretty good crowd for 25 below zero. By the way, we have three families that are always here out of town today. This is a pretty good crowd for severe weather. I'll tell you that right now. Thank you for coming. I appreciate your coming. Notice in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 12, notice what the Word of God says to us. For I will pass. By the way, this is familiar scripture. You know how God, the Passover, how God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. So we're just going to give you some thoughts about that this morning. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Are you in verse 12 with me? Exodus 12. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, I love that blood, Roddy. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, he's got to see that blood.
Right.
See, we have a bloody religion, Brother Andy. It takes the blood of Christ to get you to heaven. When I see that blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Look at verse 14. And this day, the day I'm setting you free, the day I'm taking you out of bondage, the day I'm shedding this blood to for your redemption. Are you with me? This day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it for a feast by an ordinance forever. Look at verse 24. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. I want to talk to you about always remember. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word of God. Lord, as I went through scripture this year, there was a couple of scriptures that came out and just captured my heart. And Father, I pray I can be a blessing to everyone that's here. And Lord, if there's any here that's never trusted you as Savior, may they see that Christ really loves them and that he died for them. And Lord, the only way to get to heaven is through faith in the Son of God. Lord, I just pray you'll bless everyone here. Bless those that couldn't come, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we read these scriptures here, we find that God told Moses, I want you to tell the people of Israel, Moses, that I want them to always remember the day I brought them out of Egypt. Moses, I'm taking you out now. And I want them to always remember. Matter of fact, Moses, this day is so special. This day is so spectacular. There's nothing like this day and never will be. It's the greatest day of their entire life. This day of me setting them free is the greatest day of their entire life. Moses, I want you to have a great feast and ordinance, and not just for a few years in memory of this great day, but I want you to have it forever. I want it to be a memorial that you always forever do and always remember what I did for you. I want this day to be remembered down through all the generations of time forever. And as you read through the scriptures, you will see over and over, not only did God say it here, Miss Arlene, but he kept bringing up this day. And that's what stirred me as I was reading through. He kept bringing up to Moses and the people, hey, you tell them. God kept reminding them, I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to remember what I did for you. For instance, hold your hand there, but look at Exodus chapter 19. And by the way, there's several. I just read two. They're numerous. I just took two as a number of witnesses. But look at 19:3. Moses went up to God and the Lord and called on him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Are you with me? Verse 4, Exodus 19. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Hey, Moses, go back and remind them. Remember what I did for you. Remember what I did for you. Don't forget that Passover. Don't forget when I brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget these things, my boy. Don't forget about what I did at the Red Sea either. I want you to remember these things. Are you still with me? Notice, look at 29, and we just keep going, and God still keeps reminding them. 29, look at chapter 29, verse 45. And by the way, there are numerous. I just selected these two because those caught my attention. 29, verse 45. Look what God says again. And I will dwell among the children of Israel. I'm in Exodus 29, 45. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know, the people of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God. You know, God wants us to know where he's our God. That, notice what it says, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Moses, I want you just to keep putting in their mind, remember, God's the one that brought us out of here. I like what Brother David thought about our Christian school. I think that's why God's blessed. That's not my school. It's not Brother David's school. It's not any teacher's school. It's God's school. And you know, when we focus on the Lord and say it's His, and all of it is from Him, then we get the right perspectives. Amen. And God's saying to Moses here, look at that verse. To be honest with you, this is a verse that really, Lizzie, when I read this verse, I circled it. I said, man, he is really just taking the hammer and hitting the nail over and over and over. Look at that. And they shall know, the people of God, the people of God shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. He's saying, Moses, I want to tell you right now, I want them never to forget that I'm their God, and I'm the God that brought them their salvation, their freedom. I'm the God that took them out of the bondage. I'm the God that took them out to open up the Red Sea so they could flee from Pharaoh. I'm the God of their salvation. And I want them to understand, never to forget. I want them to always remember. Moses, I want them to always remember what I did for them. Now, when you think about this, God said this day of deliverance, this day that you're being set free from bondage, this day of salvation, because really it was their day of salvation when you think about it. The Lord never wanted them to forget who saved them. The Lord never wanted them to forget how they were saved. By the way, Christians, God doesn't want us ever to forget who saved us and why he saved us. Amen? He wants us always to remember these truths. God wanted the nation Israel, number one, I just put three or four of them here. God wanted the nation of Israel to always remember their roots. Always remember where you came from. You know, I think sometimes people forget where they come from. Moses, I want them to always remember that the nation of Israel, remember they were in bondage for 400 years or more. How many remember that? For over 400 years, they were there for 400 years in bondage. Generation after generation. Now watch. I don't want you to forget those years of bondage. Moses, I want you to remember also that they, in those years of bondage in Egypt, they were without hope. They were in chains. They were in darkness. Are you with me? Moses, I want you to always remember, you and the people of Israel, that the Egyptians dictated your entire lifestyle. You know, when they were in Egypt, they didn't have a life of their own. The Egyptians they were slaves. The Egyptians told them what they were going to do. The Egyptians, they dictated their lifestyle. They dictated what they did. They dictated how they worked, where they worked, when they worked. Are you with me? They dictated where they went, if they could go anywhere, and they dictated if the plight of their children. Because back in Moses' day, the Egyptians said, you kill the man babies. Fortunately, Moses' mom and dad didn't do that. Amen? So God's saying, I want you to remember these things. Remember what I took you out of. Always remember that I heard their cries, and always remember I saw their burdens, and always remember it was me that was their, it was me, Moses, that was their redeemer. I don't want them to never forget their redeemer. Now, number two, always remember, Moses, you let them always remember, God sends a man. God sends a man to be the leader and a deliverer. I'm glad God sent that man, Moses, to lead them out. Amen. You ever notice, did you ever notice God always has a man that he sends in our time of crisis? In John 1:6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. It's amazing how God always raises up someone to deliver us. By the way, Moses was the type of their savior. I was talking to Brother David yesterday, and of course we shared this with the people on Wednesdays as we're studying the Bible. The word Moses means to draw out. Moses means to draw out. It's amazing. And it was Pharaoh's daughter that gave Moses his name. Pharaoh's daughter actually said, this is Moses. Then the word Moses means because she drew him out of the water. Are you with me? It's amazing. This man who is called Moses, that means draw out. God used him to draw out the people of Israel out of Egypt. Amen? And now notice, I want you to think about this. Moses, in a sense, Moses in a type, in a spiritual type, was their deliverer. Moses was like, in a type, their savior. He brought them out of bondage. Are you with me? I'm glad, you know how many years between Moses and Jesus there was? Approximately 1,500 years. Between Moses and the life of Jesus, you got close to around 1,500 years. I'm glad, Brother Carl, I know Moses was their deliverer, spiritually speaking, in type. But I'm glad 1,500 years later, Brian, that God sent a man called the God-man, who is the Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad, Bobby, he sent someone to be a deliverer for you and I. Amen. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Amen. And it goes on in verse 6, to redeem us who were under the law. Amen? Amen. Notice, oh my, I'm so thankful that God always has a man to deliver someone in need in bondage. Amen. I'm glad he had Jesus for you and I. Number three. And Moses, tell the people, always remember God shed innocent blood of those lambs to set you free. Are you back in Exodus 12 with me? Notice Exodus chapter 12 again. Moses, don't forget the blood. Look at 12:13. Exodus. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Moses, I want the people to remember always it was the blood that God used to protect you. It was the blood that saved you from death. Don't ever forget that down through the generation. It was the Lamb's blood. It was the Lamb's blood, Moses. I don't want any of your people to ever forget. It was the Lamb's blood that saved you from death. Boy, I'm glad there was a day that Jesus came. And John the Baptist saw him and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:29. Amen. And he went to Calvary's cross and he shed his blood, that lamb, that precious lamb without any blemish, Jesus, the Son of God. He had no sin, but he died for us who were sinners. He was the just that died for the unjust, the Bible says, that he might bring us unto God. The Bible says that God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Can anyone say amen? Scripture says in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus tasted death for all of us. Aren't you glad? God said, okay, I know I used the lamb to redeem those people back in Israel, but really, that lamb was a type and was just a forerunner of the one that was really going to come. And now the real Lamb. And so Jesus went to the cross, and that Lamb of God, Jesus, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. And as he hung there on that cross from 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours. 6 hours he hung on the cross for you and I. By the way, God made man on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. It's amazing. The Son of God suffered 6 hours for all mankind. Amen. And there, as his heart pumped, blood came out. Blood was shed. And see, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so the Lamb, he shed his blood. He gave his life. And Moses, remember, tell those people of Israel that that was an innocent lamb had to die. Innocent lamb had to shed his blood to protect them from death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that 1,500 years later, God sent the Lamb of heaven. And it was his innocent blood that was shed to protect us from death. Can anyone say amen? Hey, Moses, always remember, it takes the blood. It takes the blood of the Lamb to redeem your soul. Hey, Christians, always remember, it's the blood of the Lamb that redeems our soul. Listen, look at that. Look at verse 13. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm going to tell you right now, unless you got God's Christ's blood applied to your soul, you can't go to heaven. But Brother Kerry, I'm so glad that he shed his blood. And when we trust the Savior, the blood was applied to us. Yeah. And when the spirit of death comes, the spirit of death, it's just, let him go. He's got the blood. Yeah. I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Brother Bobby, not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm a preacher. Because, by the way, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah. But Tommy, I'm going to heaven because Jesus shed his blood. And I trust him as my Savior. And he said, don't ever forget. Always remember the blood that was shed for you. Amen. So you could be redeemed. Yep. Hey, Christian, he didn't want them to forget the blood back there in Moses' day. He don't want us to forget it today. Amen. By the way, when Christ came, the scripture says he was our Passover. Yep. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Who Christ is our Passover. He is the Passover Lamb. By the way, we're just a, you know what? A lot of times we forget what God's done for us. You wonder why we don't love him like we should? You wonder why we don't live for him like we should? You know why we don't sometimes long for him like we should? We don't remember that he shed his blood for us. Can anyone say amen? Oh, we should never forget this. We should never forget the day the blood was applied to us. Listen, our hearts should always be warm and tingling inside, remembering the day that Christ shed his blood for us. You know, by the way, can I say this to you? I think every Christian, listen, I don't know the date. I don't know the particular date. I know the year I was saved, 1969. I know the place where I was saved, 1034 and a half Sherman Street, North Toledo. Upper duplex. It was in the nighttime. I know me and Rosie only lived there 6 months. From July. We started in June 20. We got married June 20. So I lived there June, and probably for up to about November somewhere. I think we're only there for whatever 6 months is onto that. That 6 months. We lived in that place for 6 months. I believe I got saved in the month of either the end of September or the month of October. That's where I definitely got saved, right in there. Either end of September or first part of October. But it doesn't matter that I know the exact date. What matters, I can take you to the place where I trusted Christ as my Savior. And Brother Carl, look up here, you Christians. Brother Joey. Joel, don't ever forget where you got saved. Always remember. Brother Kerry, I think we should always remember and have a warm spot in our heart about the day we got saved. I think a lot of Christians get discredited and disappointed and discouraged because they forget to go back and remember when they got saved. By the way, if you don't know that day, if you don't know the time when you saw yourself a lost sinner, and you saw you needed Christ as your Savior. I was already a member of a Baptist church. I was already baptized. Still going to hell. And then for the first time in my life, see, I went back with the preacher. I knew I needed some of the street kid. I mean, you have to tell a street kid, hey, you're bad. I know I'm bad. I mean, when he preached, I was the only guy in the church. I'm wearing a black leather jacket and everything else in there. And I'm the only look at these people and say, look at that hood. Look at that hoodlum. No, they weren't saying that. That's what goes through your mind, though. Are you with me? But it seemed like Arlene, when he was preaching, I was the only guy there. And he said, you want to get saved? And I said, well, I need something. And I asked God, I said, so the preacher loved me. He cared, Brother Milton. He's in heaven now, by the way. And I said a prayer, God, save me. But I really didn't understand what I was doing. I just knew I needed more than what I had. And so I went and got baptized and started going to church with Rosie every week. After about a year, though, one day it dawned on me. Wow. I've heard all those messages. Isn't that amazing? That's why it's so important to stand underneath the Word of God. Eddie, here, I prayed in the church, gave out tracts. But for the first time in my life that night, I saw myself a sinner guilty before God. Like Romans 3:19 says, every mouth stopped and the whole world guilty. And by the way, you got to see yourself guilty before God before you can ever get saved. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save them which are lost. You got to get lost before you get saved. You got to know you need something before you can get it. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. And I got down my knees in front of an old green couch. I only paid $110 for the couch and lamps and everything. Tables, extra chairs. Unbelievable. Wish I could get a buy like that. Had it for 5 or 6 years, and Rosie sold it to her aunt for $50. I wanted to give it away. It was holy. So now we're getting $50 for it. You girls are unbelievable. And I never forgot that. I got down my knees. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. And, Lord, I believe you did die for me. And I believe I need you to be my Savior. And I said, Jesus, come into my heart. This time I knew what I was doing, and this time I meant it. And God knew it. I said, oh, God, I need you. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul. He saved me. You know, I've never got over that. He took me right out from the depths of hell. And now I got heaven for eternal home. Amen. Amen? Just no scumbag. Now I'm going to heaven. And didn't do nothing for it. Jesus did it all. See, here's what happens. We need to remember. I came from the depths of Roy Thompson's song. He was even worse than I was. His daddy was a drunkard. Kicked him and his mama out. At least my daddy wasn't a drunkard. And he kept us in our home. He was on the street as a young boy. He said he went to that church up there in Akron, that great preacher back then. Tell me the preacher's name. Yeah, Brother Billington. And he was probably hadn't washed in 2 months. When you're on the street, you don't have a shower. Dirty clothes, filth. And he went forward, and he said the associate pastor at that time, he didn't know who, put his arm around him and said, oh, God save this dear man. He said, I'm glad someone cared about me. You know what? We need to care about people because we're no better than he was. I think we forget sometimes. We get so high and mighty. Look, we say, look at those bums. If Jesus wouldn't save me, Brother Gary, I'd be right with them or worse. Don't get too high-minded. You ought to remember where you came from. And I guess God forgave more for me. The Bible says when we forgive more, they love them more sometimes. But I know what I was. I'm so glad Jesus loved me. I'm so glad he was willing to save my soul. I'm so glad he was willing to die and shed his blood on Calvary so I could have my sins forgiven and go to heaven. I wouldn't have done it for you. You wouldn't have done it for me either. By the way, even if you would have, wouldn't have mattered because we're all sinners. We couldn't. You had to have a sacrifice that didn't have any sin to die for sinners. And Christians, I think, just like God kept saying to those people of Israel, always remember, always remember. He wanted, listen, when we remember about what God did for us, our heart stays warm for the things of God. Amen. I think a lot of Christians fall in love with Jesus because they forget about the blood sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Christians, we ought to always remember the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. We ought to remember, where we were and what we were before Christ saved us. You know, we soon forget many times what God does for us. Real quickly, what time is it? I'll give me 10 more minutes. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Did you notice when they were coming, when he's taken out of bondage, Eddie? Look what he did for the people. Look what God did for the people of Israel, the people of God, when he set them free. Not only did he save their soul from blood, with the blood, took them out of bondage, but look what he did. Verse 35, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Man, they went out, they were paupers, Brian. They went out multi-millionaires. Because the people of Egypt, all the firstborn were dead. Those people in Egypt were so terrified from Pharaoh on down, they said, get out and take anything you want. We don't want, just get out of here. We're going to all die if you don't get out of here. Are you with me? And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent them. They didn't let them. They just gave it to them. Man, take it. By the way, the reason all the years they worked for free, though, they owed it to them. They lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. By the way, that's why when they built the temple and they asked for, there's only one time when Moses had it, the Bible said they gave so much. They gave so much. Moses had to restrain him and said, we got too much. Don't bring no more money in. Wow, that's a Baptist preacher's dream. Folks, don't give no more money. We got too much. Your brother and I ain't never going to see it on this side. Moses is the only Baptist preacher that ever saw that. Isn't it amazing, though, what God did for him? Not only did he save him, but then he gave him riches. Think with me now. I'm working on something. Not only did he take him out of bondage. Not only did he take the burden away from him. Not only did he save him from death. You think that alone would make you rejoice. Amen? But then he says, I'm gonna give you riches. I'm going to give you riches untold. Did you know that's exactly what he does for the Christian? And by the way, though, we soon forget because remember Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments and the associate pastor, Aaron. You got to watch some associate pastors. I have a standing thing with my associate pastors. Seriously, they'll tell you. I bring them in my office the first day and I say, I'm going to put you up for to be associate pastor. And I said, if you ever wreck my church, I'm personally going to kill you with my bare hands. But I'm excited about you coming. And I want you to know I love you. But I love my church more. Hello? More associate pastors tear up churches. Thank God we were blessed with good ones. Seriously, they're here, but I'd say we've been blessed with good associate pastors. Brother Eddie, someday you'll be with me, and if you ever mess my church, I'll kill you. No, just kidding. I'm serious, Eddie. Yeah. No, Misty's going to do it for me. No. But seriously, think with me. You ask Brother Robert. Ask Robert when he came in, and Robert's been such a blessing to us. I said, you can say, what did preacher first tell you? First? He said, boy, when Robert was just a young kid then, and he saw the old man, he said, he was terrified. God's work is so important. Everybody has to be loyal. Everybody has to be in together. You all got to be on one, because Satan likes to get in and tear churches up. See, Aaron, the right-hand man there. He should have said, no, we're waiting on the man of God. But know what he'd do? He said, bring me all your gold, and I'll melt it down. We'll make a golden calf. Where'd they get the gold from? Egypt. Are you with me? Don't we? We soon forget, don't we? Are you still with me? I'm working on a thought here. How many realize, even though God blessed the people of Israel, they soon forgot? See, it's important that we always remember, because when we forget to remember, then we forget. And when we forget, we do things we shouldn't do. Am I making sense to anybody? Notice, Christian, not only did God save our soul, but Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as is it written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Listen, heaven is beyond our imagination. Now, Bobby, now did God save us from hell. Not only did he take me out of Egypt, the world, and all the bondage and all the sin and all the righteous sin, which is death. Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death. I'm glad God took that penalty for me. And Brother Leo, you and I learned, we're taken away from that penalty of death because of Christ. But then he does even more, Brian. John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Lou, now that we get heaven, we got mansions, streets of gold, pearly gates, living forever, brand new body. Hallelujah. Wow. Boy, don't ever forget that. I was with Eureka Wolf. She's here right now. Her husband's in critical condition. And I spoke to her and him at the bedside yesterday. And I said, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that one day we've got the blessed hope of Christ. And not only that, I said, James, not only do we have the blessed hope of heaven, we're going to get brand new bodies. We're never going to get sick again. That man's been suffering for 3 or 4 years constant. I mean, it's horrible how much he's suffered. I said, isn't it wonderful that he's going to leave this body someday and go to heaven and never suffer again? And God's going to, and when at the rapture, God's going to bring his soul and spirit, he's going to raise up the old body and give him a brand new body that's not corrupt and an immortal body that's going to live forever, that never dies, never gets old, never gets sick. Amen. I mean, can you, how exciting that is? I think we forget about those. By the way, that's Eddie. That's the only comfort I can give that dear man who's dying and suffering. But it's great comfort when you know Christ. Yeah. Because the person that doesn't know Christ, they don't have comfort. They got the terror of hell. Yeah. Because he that the Son hath life. Oh, boy. I took verses 9 through 20 in 1 John 5. Boy, do I got a message there. Woo! 3 pages. It might be a Sunday morning, Sunday night thing, but boy, it's a good one. He that the Son hath life. You got Jesus, you got eternal life. You don't. He that's not Son of God, you have not. You don't have life. I'm glad Brother James Wolf knows Christ as Savior. The moment he dies, his soul and spirit's going to leave. It's going to be with Christ, and at the rapture, that body's going to be resurrected, but not that old crummy body he's got now. It's going to be and given a brand new body, a body that's going to live for an eternal body, a body that doesn't know sin and death. Amen. Oh, that's exciting. But lost people, they're going to go. Can you imagine suffering like that? That have to die and go to hell forever and ever? At least we know one day we're going to escape and be blessed, eternal bliss. Are you with me? The lost person, if you're here and you never trusted Christ your Savior, all you got to look forward to is eternal wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what the Scripture says. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad Jesus loves. Look up here, Christians. We need to always remember what Christ did for us. Sometimes we get down the dumps. We need to start thinking about how Christ took us out of bondage. We need to start thinking what he did for us, where we were, what we were, where we were going, and now we're what we are and where we're going. We're called kings and priests unto God. We're heirs of Christ, joint heirs of God. It's exciting. Do you know, Josh, you and I are the richest people in the world? Who's that guy that's real rich that did the computers?
Bill Gates. Jimmy, because you're a child of God, Bill Gates can't come close to you. Because your Savior, Jimmy, owns Brother Bruce, your Savior owns the whole world. And all the planets too, by the way. And all the stars. Because he made them. And the Bible says, you're heirs of God. Was made received unto them, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even if you believe on the thing, you're in the inheritance. If you're a child, when a person dies, you're in your inheritance. Are you with me? Huh. Eddie, our Father, our Heavenly Father, he owns everything. Scripture says he owns the mountains and the cattle on them. Amen? Bill Gates has got nothing over us. He's a pauper compared to what we are. Think about it. You say, well, preacher, though, he's got more in his bank account than I do. He might right now. But if you really reckon it before God, he doesn't.
Right.
See, you're living in time right now. We're talking about eternity.
Amen.
By the way, I don't know if Mr. Gates is saved or not. I hope he is. But I'm telling you, a lost man, I don't care if he has all the money in the world, he's a pauper.
And saved people, they're a child of God. They're heirs of the whole world. We're part ownership of the Philippines. Hey, Miriam, your Savior owns the country Philippines. Amen? That's exciting. I better finish this up. Always remember. Heaven and earth, listen, heaven's beyond our imagination. The riches of heaven and eternal glory are awaiting those who are saved. Are you saved? If you do, remember, always remember that. I've got to close this out. Last one. I'll close with this one. I'll try to close with it. Moses told tell the people, always remember. Oh, I love this. Moses, always remember the miracle I performed to make a way for them to escape. Remember how the Egyptians were going after him? How many think the Egyptians might have been mad? From Pharaoh on down, Brother Terry, every person in that Egyptian town, that country, their firstborn died. If someone killed my son, do you think I'd be mad? I'd rip their stinking rotten face off. I'd be getting my gun. You say, what kind of preacher are you? I'm a hillbilly, man. That's all I know. Are you still with me? I want you to get this. A lot of people, do you think that he was just coming to say, come on back, we want you to come back? No, their purpose, listen to me, if they would have caught up to them, they would have slaughtered them. They were coming for vengeance. They were coming with wrath. They were coming, which word we use in Romans, we teach you. They were coming with enmity. That word enmity means stronger than hatred. If someone has enmity for you, they want to kill you. And those, if they would have got to the people of Israel, they would have killed them. But God bless them. Look at Exodus 14. This is so great. Oh, man. Look at Exodus 14. Look at verse 13. This is so great. I got to give you this scripture. I never saw this, Carl, till this year. Watch this. Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of God, of the Lord. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
You know, he brought the east wind. He opened up the water and they went on dry ground. You know, don't worry about the Hollywood. They actually went on dry. They didn't wade. They went through dry. There was a big heap of water up on both sides. Are you with me? Now watch. I never saw this, Brother Eddie. It is so exciting. He said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, and he will show you today the Egyptians whom you have seen today. You shall see them. I marked this. Carry. You shall see them again. No. More forever. I'm going to show you something in just 1 minute. Are you with me? What will they? He said, you're going to see them no more forever. By the way, they didn't because God killed them. He drowned them. Stay with me. I'm going to give you something here in just a moment. Look at verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry, and then the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went under the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and the right hand and the left hand. Are you with me? And the Egyptians pursued, I'm in verse 23, and went in after them in the midst of the sea, Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his horsemen, and as you keep reading, you'll see that he took off the wheels and everything. Look at verse 26. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand. He stretched it out once to open it up. He stretched out again to close it. It's amazing what God can do. Amen. Stretch out. Moses stretched out his hand. By the way, if I go an extra 5 minutes, I'm not preaching tonight, so you're getting off. You're making out. I got thinking about, why am I worried? I'm giving up tonight. But upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. And look, verse 27. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea and returned the strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Watch 28. I got 28 circled. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. And they came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. Now, I want you to get this. You might think I'm stretching, but I don't think I am. We've been talking about what God did for salvation for us. This, by the way, this is all talking about the blood of the lambs. It's all Christ about our redemption. Coming out of Egypt, how he brought us out of the world. Are you with me? Now watch this. Look at verse 13 again. I'm going to have you look at verse 13 and 28. Man, I got excited when I saw this. Never thought about until this year. You shall see them again no more forever. Those coming after him, they were out to bring death to him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Are you with me? In essence, they were going to bring death, Pharaoh and his army. In essence, they were kind of like sin that brings death. And when Christ saves us, in Hebrews, look what it says there. The scripture says, you shall see them again no more forever. How many see that? And verse 28 says, not so much as one of them. Are you with me? Jesus said in 11:25, I am the resurrection of life. He that believe me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believe me and dieth shall live. Are you with me? Now stay with me. This is so phenomenal. Ye shall see them no more. They were a type of sins that destroy. When we get saved, what does God do? He forgives us of all our sins. Hebrews 10:17. And your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. They're all vanished away. Are you still with me? And you'll remember them no more. Psalms 102, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so hath the Lord removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah! He's removed our enemies. He's removed those things that's going to beset us. He's removed those things that would bring us down in death. Hallelujah! He's washed them away. And he's washed them, Brother Rod, with the blood of his own, Jesus. And we need to remember that. Because when we remember that, it brings a greater love and appreciation for our sins. I think that's a spiritual application that can be applied. Just like they were washed away, that's what he did with all our sins. And not one. See, I'm not worried about going to hell because I sin. I'll quit here.
By the way, there's still stuff on my paper. You're lucky I'm going to be good to you today. Thank you, Lord, for saving my son.
You see, get this truth. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all the sins from Adam to the last person who's going to live. He died for all the sins of the world. Every sin that I've ever committed or going to commit, he's already died for. People don't go to hell because of their sins. Christ already died for them. There's only one sin that sends people to hell. Because Christ has died for all the rest. The sin that sends people to hell is not adultery. The sin that sends people to hell is not being a drunkard. The sin of being a whoremonger or a liar or a cheat. You can name anything you want. None of those sins send anybody to hell because a murderer. By the way, David was a murderer and he went to heaven.
Right.
Saul was a murderer. Paul, he went to heaven. No. You can be a God don't want to be murdered, but be murdering somebody, even commit suicide, doesn't send you to hell. There's only one. Because see, when Jesus died on the cross, all the sins of mankind were nailed on that cross with Jesus.
Amen.
Every sin that's ever been committed and will commit, God, Jesus took all the cup of all the sins of mankind and died for all of them. The only sin that sends people to hell is the sin of unbelief. That's what sends people to hell. God gave a record of his son. Preach a little bit of my first John message. Well, that's a great little message, I'm going to tell you. If you're going to miss that one, you're not going to give you a little bit right now. God gave a record of his son. And those that believe the record of God's son, Christ, it came in. John 3:16 is the record. He forgot to the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but ever. That's God's record. If people believe it, they get saved.
Right.
If people deny it, they call God a liar. And they go to hell. Because they don't believe the record of God.
I close with this last illustration. This is a true story. I've told this before, years gone by. When I used to work at Allied Chemical as a young boy,
I had a friend named Roy Benoit. Roy Benoit was a Vietnam vet, good kid. God bless our Vietnam vets. God bless all our vets for that matter. Thank God for them. And boy, Kerry, I'd witness to him every day. I'd bring my Bible and I'd talk to him. And after about 2 weeks, and finally I just said, no, that's it. Close my Bible. I said, you got to get saved. He said, no, I'm being neutral. I said, no, you're rejecting. He said, no, I'm neutral. I'm not rejecting. I said, I'm not going to witness to you no more. I've told you, I've prayed for you, I've pleaded with you, that's it, you're going to go to hell. He said, no, I'm neutral. And I said, no, you're not. Because you either trust Christ or you don't trust Christ. There's no neutral, there's no Switzerland in God's realm. He had six cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Jesus is your refuge now. And I said, you're rejecting. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I said, Roy, you're rejecting Christ. I've shared with you. I've taught you. God's told me you know. I've spent 2 solid weeks here with you. And listen, you're just rejecting the truth. You're going to have to die and go to hell. He said, no, I'm neutral. I said, you're going to hell. And I'm not talking to you no more. I said, you're rejecting. And I walked away and he went, I'm not rejecting. See, Roy, I'm not rejecting. And I went home. I prayed, oh God, don't let Roy sleep tonight. God, bother him till he gets saved. We came to work the next day. Roy came in with a big smile. And he said, hey, guess what? I'm not rejected. I said, you are if you haven't trusted Christ, your Savior. And he hung his head. And tears start coming down his eyes. He said, last night, I tried to go to sleep. And I woke up in the middle of the night crying out, I'm not rejecting. I'm not rejecting God. I'm not rejecting you, God. And he said, I got down by my bed and I said, God, save my soul. Save my soul. I'm not going to reject you. Save me. He said, I turned to my wife. She said, I want to get saved too, Roy. And she got saved. God, save me. You see, God just said to Moses, I brought you people out of Egypt, a place of death, of damnation, no hope. Don't ever forget where you were, what you were, and always remember what I did for you. Hey, Christian, I hope during this week, you'll remember what he did for us. And if you haven't, maybe today you'll say, God, forgive me. It's been a while since I've remembered what you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'll bless us today. Oh God, just how you just, by the way, Lord, I didn't get to read it. But Lord, in 1 Corinthians 11, even when we do the Lord's Supper, you say twice in 1 Corinthians 11, you, in 23 and 24, you said in 26, do this in remembrance of me. Take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of me. You never want us to forget. You always want us to remember what you did. That's why you said it's amazing, a number of witnesses there, even in Corinthians 11, in the New Testament. Do this in remembrance of me. You didn't change your story from Moses. Keep remembering. Remember what I did for you. Even when we do the Lord's Supper, it's the truth of what he did back there in Exodus, but he did it in real life in Calvary for all of us. And he says, hey, Christian, always remember what I did for you. Lord, help us always remember. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, and I know I've preached longer today. I'm about 20 minutes longer than I normally go, but I just had this in my heart to tell you. How many could say, preacher, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was shed his blood for me, and I've received him as my Savior. How many could raise their hand and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm glad I can remember that. I'm thankful. God bless you. Maybe you're a Christian today. And you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm saved, but I'll be honest with you, lately I've not remembered. And God spoke to my heart today, I need to remember. I need to remember some of those great things he's done for me. Sometimes I soon forget. Yes, sir, God bless you. Who else will say that? Pray for me. Yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see that hand. Sometimes we soon forget. We need to always remember. We need to always remember where we came and what he did. Oh, Christian, always remember. Always remember that great day of the Passover, because Christ is your Passover. Never forget it. Before we go home, I want to say this. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you realize that if you died, you'd go to hell. And you don't want to die and go to hell. You want to go to heaven when you die. And you just say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. My prayer won't get you to heaven, but I encourage God to speak to you more. Pray for me. Preacher, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for anyone like that today. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Especially after Jesus did all that to save me. pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless what we said. We gave our heart and we tried. I know what I preached is what you told me to do. So, Lord, I pray that the Christians will be encouraged to remember the wonderful Passover of Christ for us. And, Lord, if there's any lost here today, Holy Spirit of God, just like Roy Benoit, I pray you'll not let them rest, that they'll keep thinking about Jesus so much that they'll turn to you and say, Lord, save me. Lord, please work in the hearts of people. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come, you come right now as David sings. What page are you on, Dave? Church, you come. Want to just pray?